Hi, everybody. This is Brian. I am here on www.njrevolutionradio to ask my dear friend, Pat Noble, Red Bank School Board member, Socialist Party co-chair. Pat, what the fuck is going on in Trenton?
A shutdown, apparently.
Wait, what?
Yes. So if you've been following the news the past couple of weeks.
I have not. Really
budget hard. Deadline coming up at the end of the month. Okay. We need the new budget by July 1st. As everyone remembers, last year we had a government shutdown for a few days. We had the great picture of Chris Christie sunbathing on the beach, which made a ton of wonderful memes and destroyed what was left of his political career. And now we're a full year later. Stronger Democratic majorities in both houses of the legislature,
yes.
New Democratic governor Phil Murphy.
The dawn of a communist era.
Democrats everywhere. And this past Friday, Governor Murphy gave the order to prepare for another shutdown.
So now is this standard practice? I mean, I
used to be at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you always have contingency plans, but is there rhetoric out there that is making us worry about this for real?
Granted they have a full month to work this out, but it seems to be that Governor Murphy and Steve Sweeney, the Senate president, are going to spend the next month duking it out over right. Two things. One, they have to pass the budget. On one hand, you have Sweeney, who's pushing his new idea to fund schools, which is horrible for a number of reasons. And on the other hand, you have Phil Murphy pushing all of his tax increases.
Yes.
And they both seem to have no interest in the other person's proposal, so it's sort of a duking out to see who gets what they want.
So in Trenton, what I'm imagining the conversation is around this horse trading, right? Is so Murphy wants something, Sweeney wants something. And, you know, over the course of the next month, they're either going to work it out or they're not. Like you said, they have a month. Is that the picture that you're seeing here? I mean, I'm right in that, right?
It's funny you use the word horse trading because there's another layer to it.
Okay, let's continue.
But it seems to be that...
I'm going to come back to that question. Want to come back.
It seems to be that Steve Sweeney wants the horse trading. He wants the the backroom deals and everything that he actually got along very well with Chris Christie on.
Sure.
Whereas Murphy has gone a different route, which is he has what amounts to a front group called New Direction New Jersey. It's a project run by a bunch of his former staffers, including his former campaign manager. And their solution, they're just going to blanket the airwaves with ads in favor of Governor Murphy's budget proposal. So not only are they vastly apart on the budget itself, but they're apart on the tactic to actually approve the budget. Sweeney wants the backroom deals, and Murphy wants to fire at him in the press.
Well, I mean, all right, so let's give our very wealthy governor a little credit for not playing that kind of politics. I've long been critical of transactional politics. And, when I asked you, this dynamic here, right? So it's still Murphy versus Sweeney. And my question, I think we should all be asking ourselves as citizens of the nation of New Jersey, is where are we in that conversation? Nobody seemed to give a shit if I get a raise or if you get a raise or if your mom has health care or if the economy is actually recovering for the vast majority of citizens or just for a privileged few. Mm-hmm. It's just two wealthy, powerful white men arguing about, honestly, who's tougher.
Yeah. And it goes back to, it's no secret that they don't get along. Obviously, it was very clear last year that Sweeney was going to run for governor and Phil Murphy came in, threw $10 million on the table and bought it. So they So there's animosity there. There's animosity when the NJA went after Sweeney in the general election and Murphy didn't stop them. So you, you have two guys that already don't get along, have a lot of personal grudges against each other. And now you throw this on top of it. But it goes into the overarching issue, which is that they're all part of the same party.
Well, yeah.
I mean, you know, you can talk about backroom deals or, you know, fight duking out in the press, but they're all in the same party, and it seems like they're fighting each other worse than when Christie was, you know, going after the Democrats in the legislature.
You know, I'll bring up the need for third parties and more development of independent politics, you know, while you and me are sitting here. Mm-hmm. You got to talk about how even within that party, it's dysfunctional.
Yeah.
And, you know, the people are left out of these melodramas and these soap operas that they're putting on in Trenton. Mm-hmm. And here's what I've always advocated for, you know, within the organizations that I've worked with, particularly with the Green Party, when we were talking about policy or philosophy or whatever, I always said to everybody, I'm not cutting you any kind of deal. It's not going to be you vote for me on one thing, you vote for me on another thing. And I'll tell you what, I never heard it. Nobody out of anybody, whether they liked working with me or they didn't in the Green Party, nobody ever played that game with me. It was about, is the policy we're about to pass good sense? Mm-hmm. Is taxing millionaires good economic policy? And let's talk about why. And okay, let's have that conversation. This horse trading of I'll give you something that shits on working people a little bit and you give me something that shits on working people just a little bit and we'll all shit on working people a little bit, but we're going to, you know, be able to play politics and have our business buddies be interested in what we're doing is like the overall kind of, I don't know, atmosphere in that.
Well, I mean, you bring up the millionaires tax and that's a good example of how dysfunctional these people are. So right now our income tax for the top bracket's right around 9%. I think it's a tiny bit less.
Yes.
And Murphy wants to bring it up to 10.75%, which would be the highest in the tri-state, not by a lot, but it would be the highest. And Steve Sweeney and the Democrats in the legislature are blasting this. You know, it's gonna, you know, millionaires are gonna flee the state. Nonsense like that. Yeah. However, not only have they in the past been publicly supportive of a millionaire's tax, or at least, I know it's the phrase we're using, but in favor of increasing that tax. When Christie was governor, they sent that tax to him 5 times. Of course, it was vetoed because they knew it never stood a chance and they were doing it to score points. But when they had a Republican governor, they approved it 5 different times. And now that they have a Democratic governor who actually wants to do it, they have no interest because now they can't lie anymore. Now they can't pretend to be supportive of something they actually don't support.
It feels a little bit like deja vu on our talk last week about $15 an hour minimum wage and them, you know, not passing. Mm-hmm. So, you know what, I don't know if we've done this, but has there been a published reports on some of these votes where we can go back and people can look and see who flipped? I mean, you know, and one of the tricks that they did, and Sweeney pulled this at the $15 minimum wage, is he won't put it up for a vote if he doesn't get the Senate votes beforehand, right? And I want, you know, to expose this kind of tactic that he's used, right? So they'll have this show vote of which means nothing, right? Because we know either the governor's going to veto it. And in the $15 an hour minimum wage case, they said, hey, if he vetoes it, we're going to stick this thing on the ballot. We're going to put it up for a vote. So they, of course, pass the thing that gets vetoed. And when it came time to put this thing on the ballot, like he said he was going to do, and like he said he had the votes to do, he would not put it up for a vote in the Senate. And what that did was it protected the no votes in the Senate. So we can't sit here today and say that this guy lied to us and that guy lied to us. Mm-hmm. Steve Sweeney takes the heat. He gets reelected because he's an overwhelmingly gerrymandered district that's never going to vote against him, and no matter what. Mm-hmm. And then his buddies in the Senate, who he protects all the time by not putting things up for a vote and not exposing the parts of the Democratic Party which are completely against the working class people of this state, then he keeps his post as Senate president. And that's their favor, and that's their favor to him. And I hope the Democrats listen, because I see it too much. Everybody's onto your shit.
Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the possibilities over the next month is that they're going to, you know, pass a budget, which is everything that they want. You know, cut out the tax increases and Murphy's priorities to send it to them. That's really the only way you'll see an honest vote of who's in favor of Sweeney's, you know, no millionaire tax, nothing, sending that to Murphy. But outside of that, like you said, they're going to sit on their hands. They're going to let it be negotiated by Sweeney, by Murphy, and the Assembly Speaker, and then vote on it after it's all agreed to and everyone's happy and unified again. But rarely do you see in these votes what these people actually stand for. It's all about, you know, which way is the vote being whipped.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, you know, as a father of five kids and you being a school board member, have we looked at some of the educational aspects of what's being proposed on either side, and what kind of impact do you think, you know, is being angled for our communities? You know, we've got issues of charter schools and other stuff. Right. It does vary a little bit community to community. What do you see as maybe an overall effect, but maybe an effect maybe on, in particular on our communities where the schools aren't doing so well? What are we doing about our educational system?
One of Sweeney's big proposals as a counter to Murphy's budget proposal is, in his mind, fixing the school funding formula, or in his mind, making it more equitable. And how he's proposing to do that is taking districts that he considers to be overfunded, pretty much raiding the state funding they get, and then redistributing to districts that he feels are underfunded. So you look at Jersey City's being highlighted as the district that'll be hit the hardest by this. Mm-hmm. In Sweeney's proposal, they go into Jersey City. Over the next 5 years, they take $174 million in state aid, and they give it to the rest of the state. Now you want to, you know, how is a district like Jersey City supposed to handle that? And the only answer that Sweeney can come up with is that they're going to handle it through attrition. So as teachers retire, they can spread out the jobs. So all that's going to do is increase class sizes and eventually cut programs. On top of that, one of Christie's big things was the 2% budget cap, so school districts can't go over 2%. Part of, you know, the idea was that it would keep property taxes in check. Part of Sweeney's proposal is to give a waiver to districts that are being defunded to let them go over that 2%. So Sweeney is simultaneously saying he doesn't want a millionaire's tax, and he doesn't want to bring the sales tax back up to 7%. Mm. While he's doing that, he's also saying we're going to take away the budget cap, which is going to blow up property taxes in these districts, which will obviously adversely affect working people who own homes in these towns. Mm. So we're going to simultaneously protect the millionaires from a slight increase in their income tax, but we're going to blow up the property tax of working people.
I wonder why he and Christie got along so well. I also wonder.
The same kind of guy, no?
I mean, and I am sure that his proposals that are geared towards Jersey City have absolutely nothing to do with Steve Fulop endorsing very early Governor Murphy.
No.
I'm sure this is about the kids.
Yeah.
I'm sure of that. I'm sure he's that kind of honorable man that he wouldn't stoop to such petty things, right?
No. And as a South Jersey Democrat, I know he is deeply invested in the success of North Jersey cities.
Oh yes, of course. Yeah. God damn it. All right. Well, you know, I appreciate that insight, because I think education's up there on important things to do. And I don't know if you heard it yet, Pat, but our listeners out there can check out the interview regarding Amistad curriculum with Wine, Women, and Revolution. I just want to get that plug in there. But back to budget stuff.
There is another interesting.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Another interesting tidbit in the budget fight, and there's no telling at this point if this is going to come to pass or not. But there's a bill floating when we had the shutdown last summer. In addition to Chris Christie's photo op on the beach, one of the big criticisms was that it shut down state park and state beaches during busiest one of the busiest weekends of the year.
Right.
So there's a bill that's been in the Senate for a while, but it looks like it might be inching forward now. To, in theory, if there was a government shutdown, the beaches and the parks would not be affected. It would stay open during a shutdown. Now, at first, you would say, okay, that's a good thing. You know, they'll stay open, businesses stay open, you know, work.
Yeah, take my kids to the park.
Go to the park, go to the beach, not see Chris Christie sitting alone in a beach chair. but then
you never know. He looks pretty comfy in that thing.
He's mostly unemployed. He might be hanging out there.
Yeah, exactly.
But when you take a step back and you look at that, you realize that they're not doing it because they want to make sure that the beaches and parks stay open. They want to do it so when the government does shut down, it affects you and me as little as possible, and they don't catch heat for it. They can fail and fuck up miserably, but since we don't directly feel it, everything's fine. In the same way that when there was a government shutdown in, I think it was 2006, when Corzine was governor. And back then, the casinos and racetracks would shut down if there was a shutdown. After that one ended, they had a similar bill to remove them from a government shutdown so they would stay open regardless. So it's really the same thing where whatever they're getting criticized on, they're moving it out of what would be included in a shutdown. So when they screw up and fail and the government shuts down, you don't feel it. So they get it's almost like they're hiding their mistakes.
They're good at that.
Yeah.
They're good at that. I guess it's something I would have to think about. I mean, it's the first time I'm hearing of this. Essential services are already provided for, I would assume.
Right. That's covered.
Do we see an uprising coming that's going to be thwarted by going to the beach?
Well, that'd be nice, but
you know, what do I want to do today? Revolution or mojito?
I think the point is that it's not that they're getting better. They're not. They're getting better at hiding their screw ups.
Yeah. Well, they've been doing it for hundreds of years.
They're embarrassed that the casinos closed during a shutdown. Okay, so we'll take them out of the mix. So the next time we screw up and everything shuts down, that won't be included.
Right.
Then a few years later, everyone's upset that the beaches and parks are shut down. Okay, we're going to remove them from the mix.
Yeah.
So the next time we screw up, that won't be included. And like you said, you know, so as an example with Sweeney and a lot of these people in incredibly gerrymandered districts, is there some point where they actually get held accountable for this?
Well, no.
No.
No. I think that's the problem. I think, you know, that's why guys like you and me exist and refuse to, you know, get in with these crowds and do our thing, even though we're on the fringes of things at times. We're activists and we make real change in our own way. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we know that this is all just a game between powerful people and, you know, we're not in on the conversation. So,
the sum total of Sweeney's punishment is getting a union-backed Trump Republican bankrolled against him. That's it.
Dude. We've talked about it before. We tried to find a candidate to run against.
I know,
we killed ourselves for that shit, man. Yeah. I was cold calling people. I was just grabbing the list. I was like, you live in a town where this douchebag's a senator. Do you want to run? Who's this? Oh, this is Brian. We were trying, man. We couldn't find nobody. It's amazing. It's amazing the lockdown they have in some of these districts, you know. And even in the swing districts, what's the big difference, right? Yeah. CD7 is going to be Leonard Lance or Leonard Lance with a different kind of shirt. I don't know. It's, you know, a guy that was, you know, worked under Clinton. Somebody under Clinton, under Obama. He was the deputy secretary of state or something.
Yeah. Okay. You know, I'm in the fourth district, so we're going to either have Chris Smith or, you know, the primaries tomorrow, obviously. But we'll have Chris Smith, or we'll have most likely Josh Well, who's a, you know, as conservative as Democrats come. And then we can go down to the second district with quite a bit with Jeff Van Drew.
Yes. Yeah. a true leader of the Leninist movement, yes. Right down there. And he's, I mean, what a comrade. What a comrade.
Yeah. So we want to, you know, talk about flipping some of these districts for the Democrats, and these are the knuckleheads they put up.
There's no flip, though. It's no flip. It's the same power brokers that are behind all this nonsense, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat. To understand New Jersey politics, you got to understand these turf wars, man. You know, and
it's like, you know, 2 years ago, all the Democrats were cheering that they were able to squeak Josh Gottheimer in there. In two years, what did that produce?
Well, Josh Gottheimer. You mean the Microsoft executive?
Yeah.
He's exactly what we said he was going to be.
Yeah.
He's exactly what we said he was going to be.
On a side note, that's going to be a fun election this year because the presumptive Republican nominee is going to be Steve Lonergan.
Oh, he's awesome.
Yes.
he had a fundraiser at a gun range where people could bring like a can of soup and shoot stuff. Yeah. That's New Jersey, man. It's a very diverse state.
On a related note, if anyone wants to watch the greatness of Steve Lonergan, go watch a documentary called Anytown USA.
Okay. What can you give us a quick teaser on that?
It's a documentary of it was either his election or re-election campaign for mayor of Bogota. But it's an interesting watch. You get to see the intricacies of New Jersey politics.
Well, I'll have to check that out.
Have we never seen that?
No, I got five kids, man. I can never watch anything on TV or listen to radio. I get my news from you and Facebook.
I know, but you can take them to concerts. You can watch a documentary.
No, I'd rather go to a concert. I'd rather go to see Slayer. I saw Slayer over the weekend. I took my kids. It was awesome. If you're Facebook friends with me, you can see the pictures I put up on there. It was a blast, man. I'm not giving up concerts for that nonsense. No. Maybe one late night when I'm a little tipsy and I got number. I'll try to remember and look up that. What was the name of the movie again?
I believe it's Anytown USA.
Anytown USA. All right, man. I'll check it out. You got anything going on you want to plug, man? You got any SP events or something that we need to know about?
No, I mean, you know, this past weekend was our big one. We had Left Forum. We had Jersey Pride yesterday in Asbury Park.
Shit, we got time. Can you talk about Comic-Con?
I didn't go. Are you crazy?
Oh, you didn't go. You went to Jersey Pride.
Yeah. Why would I go to New York when I can go to an event in New Jersey?
You are such a patriot.
Yes.
The loyalty to the great nation of New Jersey. I mean, they're
beautiful. You know, Sunday morning, went to a beautiful New Jersey bagel shop, egg and cheese, big nice. Bagel, beautiful. Wonderful. Got on New Jersey Transit. Went down there, saw Murphy and Menendez losing voters.
there's been some great memes. And I did want to throw back very early on in the conversation. We talked about the Chris Christie meme, you know, hurting him politically. And I just thought to myself when you said that, what a great day and age we live in when memes have such political impact as to destroy the future of our governor. It was it speaks to our political awareness here in New Jersey.
In fairness, I think in his case, it wasn't so much destroying as just making it sink faster.
Maybe, and probably maybe final nail type deal. I think that might have been the final nail there.
Sort of like the Titanic somehow hitting a second iceberg.
That's good. I haven't heard that one. That's really good, man. All right, Pat. Listen, thanks a lot for joining me tonight. Everybody, where you see Socialist Party, where you see Pat Noble, let them know you heard him on New Jersey Revolution Radio. Visit us on the web. Check out our recent broadcasts. We've got an interview with the New Jersey Weed Man up there, Wine, Women, and Revolution, as I mentioned earlier. I talk about Amistad curriculum, teaching our children about how this country was built on white supremacy and how we need to educate ourselves about that so that we can fight it, and a whole bunch of other good stuff. Pat, thanks a lot. Good night, everybody.
Thanks. Have a good night.